You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're having trouble accepting the Polynesians fast enough, really. You know, we can't educate them, they're not used to our way of life, they don't know the language.
This house, this house is falling down around me, but I can't move. No, no, I can't leave this space. These tired hands, they've been handed down to me, but my heart, it never sleeps.
Yeah. Soul is a furnace, I can feel the fire burning, embers igniting, resurgence. I'm trying to define my purpose. My people are hurting, they work in a labor service, getting treated worse than vermin. We don't deserve it when destiny calls. Are you willing to talk? Are you willing to walk? Are you risking it all? With my back against the wall, I'd be ready for war. I'm Beth Heckett, no fefe, we won't lele a panther. Same story, but different chapter. Copper still knockers, always putting us in handcuffs. A panther, same ones who taught us how to stand up, cut us out from all that shit like colon cancer. A panther, same song, but just a different stanza. Copper still hawkered, even though we had our hands up. A panther, calm, collected, but filled with anger. Weight of the crown is heavier than an anchor. Never had a choice, I was destined to be the voice. I'm speaking for Polynesians who never got to be poised, never got to rejoice. I can't take it anymore. The devil wears a blue uniform, he's knocking at my door. Served me with a charge, I wasn't even involved. My words falling on deaf ears when I speak in the court. Scraping chains for a lawyer I can't even afford. Coming from the working class, but we ain't working at all. Let's work it out.
That is The Panthers with My Heart Never Sleeps, taken from the brand new TV show, which is all out now on TVNZ On Demand and coming out weekly on terrestrial TV. It's all looking at the Polynesian Panthers and the genesis of that activist group back in the 1970s. And we have got actor Leilani Siaosi on the line. Kia ora, Leilani, how are you?
Morena, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. It's really lovely to have a chat to you. You play Dr. Milani Anai in this show, and that must be quite a daunting thing to step into the shoes of a real person. How did you find that?
Yeah, it was very daunting because Milani, she's not only just a real person, but she is this incredible woman who has done so much for the Polynesian people, you know?
Mm.
So it was a lot to kind of try and do her person justice.
Yeah, and I hear that you had quite a lot of interaction with Milani throughout the creating of this show. How was that for you? That's pretty invaluable as an actor, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think I still remember distinctly sitting down with her at her house, and I like had my little notepad and I was just talking to her, and she was just saying all these like little gems of like knowledge, and I was just trying to soak it all up. But yeah, she's just such an incredible woman, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about the show itself, because it's taking on a huge bit of history here in New Zealand. That's recent history, really. You know, it's definitely within living memory, but it's also a really underrepresented bit of history in media and schools and what we learn about it. What was the crew and the cast, what was everybody's kind of intentions working with this project and trying to tell the story of the Polynesian Panthers?
I think, well, obviously this is my first acting job, so I'm not really sure what is quite normal in the industry, but I think for me, I could kind of tell that everyone there was there for the right reasons. And you could see that just by, after the cutting of a scene, just the emotions on everyone's face and how hard it hit them. Like, it wasn't just a job for them.
Mm.
It was the story of their people, of their ancestors. So yeah, it meant a lot to everyone involved.
I think it's crazy that this is your first acting job, because you're fantastic in the show, but you kind of rolled into this acting job kind of secondary to a production role you were doing on the show originally. How did you decide to step into an acting spot?
Well, I was there for all the table reads. That's how I started there. And every time I was just so excited by Milani. I feel like she was just a character that I wish I had growing up.
Mm.
And so I've always been into like speeches and poetry competitions and that kind of thing, but this was obviously quite a big step up, and I just knew that I'd regret it if I didn't at least give it a try.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like the vibe that was going on between everybody in the cast and crew was something pretty special as well. This was like a hugely Polynesian and Maori driven show in the production behind the scenes as well. I've seen a lot of people talking online about how that's been pretty remarkable and not something you see very often necessarily in television or filmmaking in New Zealand. How did you feel with that particular aspect of it?
I was just grateful to be part of something where the values and the integrity of the company making this were so true. That was a real big thing for Tom and Noor, who are the producers, and I was with them in those early morning sessions when they were putting out their tangibles and they were putting out their values for Te Vake, the company that was making it. And like, for them, it was about filling the space with brown excellence, you know?
Yeah.
And for the holes that they found in the industry that weren't being covered, they made it their duty to upskill up-and-comers in the industry, which is quite, it's just not very common.
Yeah.
So for me, I just feel very, very blessed to be part of something so monumental, not only like on screen, but also behind.
It sort of feels like a little bit of a line in the sand, like this is maybe a new normal we should be looking to as a touchstone. How do you feel about that?
100%. I couldn't agree more. I think that's a very beautiful way of putting it. I think it not only, I think, lifts the quality of New Zealand television, but also just the process of how we create our projects from now on.
So getting back to the story of the show a bit, you're looking at these, you know, real things that happened in our history, obviously with a dramatic lens to make it something mm-hmm. that can be turned into a TV show. It's focusing around the Dawn Raids period in the sort of first instance. And Will Ilulahia is kind of the central character. So is Milani. She was only 17 when this was all kicking off. Tell us a wee bit about Milani's story in the Panthers and how she got involved.
Milani, her story in the Panthers on the show is actually quite similar to how it happened in her real life. But basically, Milani is at this point now where she has lost kind of her understanding of what it means, of what the meaning of life is. You know, like as a Samoan, as a Tene Samoa, our whole life is surrounded by faith and our family and serving that community. But when Milani loses her mum, she's so lost, and so all she really has on her mind is to help her people. Like, she can't really help herself at the moment, so she makes it her top priority to do what she can for the Polynesian community.
And for people who don't really know much about the Panthers, because it's crazy, it's 50 years that the Panthers have been running this year, and there was a lot of sort of misrepresentation of them for a long time. They were, you know, not a gang, they were an activist organisation that was doing, you know, homework clubs for kids and like food banks and, unionising people for tenants' rights, all this kind of pretty incredible activist mahi that we see sort of proliferate around lots of different spaces now. How was it for you digging into that particular bit of the history?
I think it was really upsetting, actually, just because I don't know much about the Polynesian Panthers growing up. I come from Hawke's Bay, so, you know, I feel like as Aucklanders, you're already a little bit closer to that history, but to come from out of town, it was just a brand new world that I'd never heard of. And so all I kind of knew was just that they were going against police. Like, that's what I thought they were.
Mm.
And so the more I delved in and realized, you know, they were never anti-police, they were never anti Pākehā, they were just for the people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, others were not for the people. And so when the Polynesian Panthers came up, they were kind of villainized when that wasn't the case at all. So finding out about, you know, the prison visits they had, the food banks they'd set up, Miriamma, she'd actually set up these workshops for our Pacific men to address domestic violence and the treatment of women. Like, it never gets talked about, which is so upsetting. But hopefully now that the show is out, that more people will do their own research and educate themselves on what the true essence of the Polynesian Panthers were.
And for a younger generation as well, I think that's been something I've definitely seen come out in the discussions online about the show. You know, there's people who this is perhaps their first entry into learning about this, which, you know, says something terrible about our school system here, but it is a pretty cool way to get into this as well. It's also a very slick looking way. We got to shout out Sammy Salsa, who has done all the styling for this show. Was it nice to get into costume every morning and feel extremely steezy in the berets and the great leather jackets?
Sammy is literally incredible. He's just, if I could have Sammy style me every day, I would. Like, he is a god. But it's so funny because Milani, when I went and had my little interview with her, it's after we'd shot, I think it's after we'd shot the start of episode 2. And Milani goes to me, she was like, Lani, I love how the show's going. I love it all. But I would never wear a turtleneck. I was always the hottest one at the parties. So can you just have a word? And I was like, sis, I've got you. Don't you worry. I will go and tell Sammy.
That's so good. How did Sammy take that?
Sammy was like, girl, we've been planning this. Like, this was all part of the arc. Don't you worry. I was like, okay, I trust you.
That's so good. What was the most challenging scene for you to film?
I think the most challenging scene for me was definitely the local scene when Milani sits down with her family and has the prayer, because that one hit way too close to home for me personally. I lost my mom when I was 6 and then my nana when I was around 8, and they were the most God-fearing woman in my family. And so my family and I, we used to sit around and we used to do the local all the time when I was young, and it was always my role to start the song. And so that was the first time, I'm 22 now, and that all happened when I was like 8 or 6. We hadn't done a local since it passed, so this was my first time in years, and that was really hard to control.
And how did it feel doing that with the cast and the crew around you? It seems like you guys had a really nice sense of like family on set. Did that feel supportive and boosting in that moment?
Yeah, I was real, real fortunate to have such, especially the women who were supporting me, my makeup artist Janine, and then Crystal Vainga, the co-producer, and Luciani as well. They were all there to surround me. Via as well, who was directing the scene. They just showed so much care, and it meant a lot to me because I could tell that they weren't there just for the scene. They were there for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that translated off screen as well. Days after that scene had been shot, they were still checking up on me, making sure I was okay and things like that. So yeah, I'm super, super lucky.
It sounds like an incredible project to have been involved in, and we're so lucky that we can watch it. Sucks about lockdown, but at least we've got some good things to, I guess, binge watch over this time.
Yeah.
And people can go and binge watch The Panthers now. It's all up on TVNZ, easy as to access on TVNZ On Demand. Or if you want to, you know, save it, you can watch it on Sunday nights, 9:30 p.m. I think TV One, is that correct? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, TV One.
And you can watch it terrestrially like that too. Hey, Leilani, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to listen to one of the many excellent songs on the soundtrack. Before we jump into it, it must be pretty cool to be able to listen to the show as well through the work that, you know, Troy Kingi, Diggy Dupay and Choice Vaughan have been doing and putting together the soundtrack. It really captures a vibe. How do you feel about that?
I absolutely love the album. Before it was released, I was bumping it in my car for weeks. So I'm so happy it's finally out so everyone can listen to it as well.
Hey, Leilani, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. This is Kong.
I think we need to know for Gilalo. I just been speaking to Malo. He said you think I'm thinking with my dick again. Thinking that I'm slick again. Acting like a prick again. And how I'm never listening. I hope you know that I would never do you dirty. Unlike my Richmond jersey in the winter. 7:30 a.m. I'm up early playing. You think I'm playing up? Cause I'm starry eyed for this bad feeling I'm waiting for. Now tell me, have you ever been so love drunk? You were tipsy off a bad whiskey, just the one cup. I swear it was the hood, but it's her goods that took me under. Sharing the night together till this virgin sun comes up. I can't help but I'm selfish, and I'm reminded love is blinded like some ultraviolet lightning. I swear it struck my heart like some ultraviolet lightning. I hope you understand, cause you my brother, man. It's like that, Toko. Where you at, Toko? Hit me up and holler back when you can, Toko. It's like that, Toko. Cause you my man, Toko. So hit me up, holler back when you can, Toko. Okay.
That you're my brother for life, brotherhood of these shorties. Rather get drunk with these girls, I follow temptation. You gotta be kidding me, all the stupidity. Look at your actions and let me know, how did this happen? You feeling okay? Leaving your brother, get beaten and bad, and apparently that's what he say. You on a mission, but what's the intention behind him? Me know if you're finding instead, sneaking out with this Wahine and leaving your brother for dead in a hospital bed. I know we yoga that once in our knees, but honestly, Usula, what were you thinking? 1 minute you're flying, this minute you're sinking. Just take a good moment and let that sink in. Do you like drama? Manifest the bad karma. Picture this, getting jumped by a gang without no armor. Process all that trauma, feed him to that slaughter. When it really comes down to the get down, tell me who gonna be in your corner. My Usu selfish, gotta remind you to never leave brother behind, or you're gonna catch one in the palace. A lot of these haters are jealous and never whatever, you gotta be wary of them. Remember we rolling a pack for a reason, because we do not have as many as them. And that's for real, Uso. He need a heal, Uso. Look me in the eyes, how do you feel, Uso? Don't shed a tear, Uso. Are you real, Uso? Some more, we keep it real, Uso. Yeah.
A 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.